Welcome to Two Peas in a Podcast, the social distanced podcast, and welcome, Trevor.
Thank you very much, Michelle. I'd suggested that we talk about the perennial crops, strawberries and asparagus mainly, but just to start, I'd sort of like to announce that winter is here.
Winter is coming, it's here.
Yeah, well, that's right, and it's an unusual time. In many parts of the world, there's snow, and you don't get to go outside. And I think, by and large, sitting by a fire is a good idea, you know, because the rain, the cold, the slippery mud, all of that adds up to the garden being a place you don't want to be. But on the other hand, there's a lot of time there. You know, you're talking about from May through to September, so you're talking about a large part of the year, and we're not snowed in. We're actually relatively warm as places go. So there's a lot of time there, and I think you can work slowly away in preparation, A, for the strawberries in June or July and the asparagus same time, and B, for all the spring crops that are to come. So I think we should note, not only is it coronavirus time, but now it's winter. It's winter, and it could be flu season, but so far all our precautions have got rid of the flu, really, haven't they?
Well, they have. It's really interesting. I mean, we have a friend who works as a medical receptionist, and she said, ironically, they've had the lowest, you know, number of flu cases or that are coming in. Maybe people are staying home and being unwell, but I think we're all going to be a bit fitter this winter if we stay healthy, and we're still going to be staying at home, obviously. So we need to be doing some things while we're doing that.
Yeah, well, I do think we have changed. I mean, I would like to see this bicycle thing come in because, you know, people are crowded on trains. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
I do think the bike is still the fastest, cleanest, quietest, cheapest way of getting there and the healthiest. It's a matter of building bike tracks everywhere throughout Adelaide. And Adelaide's not making cars anymore. It could make bikes. And I really think that that's one of the things that should come out of this coronavirus thing. I know we've got a lot of people planting stuff because all the seedlings disappeared for a while, just like toilet paper did. And I got a feeling
that... Well, that extra fibre people were engaging in.
That's right.
Eating more vegetables, needing more toilet paper.
Well, I got a feeling that a lot of the plants would have found the same end as toilet paper. I think a lot of them might have failed. And one of the reasons for that is soil preparation is something that takes about 6 weeks.
It's one of those things. It's a bit like when you paint a room. My mum loves the preparation. I hate it. I'll literally paint over holes in the wall because I don't like the preparation. And then you can imagine the mess that happens. And it's no different with gardening, is it? If you're not prepared to do the preparation,
no,
you're not going to get the crops.
Yeah, it's also a bit like a waltz or something, because when you weed, you sort of dump it in the compost, and that compost will be your fertilisation by the time spring comes around, and there's a lot of composting going on, and you have to turn the thing. No one likes turning compost.
No.
You've got to do a little bit at a time, and you've got to mix it as you turn it, but gee, that is one of the secrets. So you have to weed, it's true, but you can do two things whilst you're weeding. The other is you can build compost heaps whilst you're weeding, and so that 6 week wait that you need to before the soil is ready for these long-term crops. I mean, asparagus and strawberries. Strawberries last for 3 years. Asparagus lasts for 20.
Well, my asparagus, I actually picked some this week, believe it or not. I know.
That's good.
I know. Very thin, and I did the right thing. I waited till the fronds died down, and I cut it back, and I mulched it up.
Yep.
And I thought growing asparagus was going to be really, really difficult, and I had lots of failures, but I gave it another go. And it keeps coming back. It's fantastic. Yeah. So this is the second year that I've had it in. And they're not great. They're not like when they're in season.
Mm.
But they're enough to just steam and chuck through an omelette.
They're definitely worth preparing for at any rate. I mean, you're probably only going to start out with one or two because the crowns are not cheap. You know,
they're not
a cheap thing, but you need 20 eventually. The way you prepare for asparagus is really, it needs drainage as well as fertility. So you're supposed to dig out about 300 mil of soil and just replace it with aged compost and manures and then plant with that, because they're going to be there for 20 years. So That is a lot of preparation. Strawberries are not as difficult, but strawberries are about the same as potatoes in that you've got to dump a lot of compost on your soil, probably plant a green manure crop, and then once that's grown to 150 mil high, dig it in and let that die off too. That's probably what you should do for strawberries. So you see where the time factor comes in. It's easy as can be to pop things in the ground.
Yeah.
But that ground has to be good.
Well, look what happened to my strawberries. When I said to you, I can't work out why I'm not getting strawberries, even though I was getting lots of foliage.
Mm.
And then I did a little bit of research into it, and apparently strawberries really hate mushroom compost, which was what I'd been putting in there. And so I dug them out and I moved them, and they're going great guns now. So simply by the soil. They were growing. I just didn't get any strawberries from them. It was bizarre. And I'm thinking, well, I've got all these foliage. Surely I'd have a few more strawberries. But you're right. If you're not going to do your preparing.
Yeah, it's more difficult again, really, in that it's got to be slightly acid. They're a bit fussy about that. So you shouldn't really mulch them with pine needles.
Okay.
And so the commercial growers use black plastic, but here in Gawler, which is a lot hotter than the Adelaide Hills, that could be a killer, really.
And it's black plastic, yuck.
And you can use pine needles that you can pick up for free down at the forest, I suppose. I'm not sure, I've never done that.
Are you allowed to do that?
I'm not sure. I pick them up here for free, but I'm not sure about that.
That's in your own house. Yeah. I don't know that you're telling our listeners to go down to the forest and strip it there. Yes, ask first.
Ask first. And the other thing is both asparagus and strawberry need drainage. Now, winter is the time to check the drainage out.
Yeah.
It's pretty simple, but a lot of people don't even think about it. So everything drains to the lowest point. So if you've got a suburban block or a few acres, you find where your lowest point is. And I think it's best, it's not the only way, but I think it's best that we use your paths as your drainage channels and build your beds up. So you actually dig the paths in a bit and you build your beds up so that the water runs down the paths and the beds stay dry.
Oh, good.
And obviously you have to be careful about speedy runoff because that's erosion. So you need to put some gravel drain interceptors if it's going to go racing down that hill. And you also need, at the end of the run, to install some sort of temporary storage. Now, that can be what they call a swale or just a holding pond for a while. But that drainage is just as important as the soil, really. And you'll see it in wintertime because if there's water lying on your plants, if they are sitting in water, their roots are rotting, basically.
Yeah, that's true. That was my mistake with my peace lilies. I overwatered them, and then when I dug them up, the base was just rotten and a bit mouldy.
Yeah, so
I'm not good with indoor plants.
So it is best to find out. I mean, eventually it goes into the street curb, or in the case of the country, it goes into a creek or a river eventually, but on your own patch, when you're looking at a patch to make into gardens, your bed should be built up, your path should be slightly sloping, and it should be running into a catchment area because you really want that catchment for birds, for frogs, for lizards. And this is the time in winter you can do that sort of nice stuff, you know?
You can. And also just kind of inviting all those things into your garden because that helps as well. We've talked about that, haven't we? Like providing all those lovely areas for the fauna. Is it fauna? Yeah.
Yeah.
For the fauna. So, no, I love that idea.
Well, I think that's future too. There's a lot of people talking about rehabilitating the soil and fighting the desert back. Well, that moisture retention is one of the principles. And so your garden's actually important in fighting a lot of what is wrong in global warming. When we talk about compost, we are talking about carbon. And when we put it on the ground, we're actually sequestering it. So we're actually doing our bit, and so are our plants, for taking the carbon out of the air and putting oxygen back. So all the gardeners in the world, if they start thinking about their soil, and all the good gardeners do already, actually.
Yeah.
But if you start thinking about your soil, that will be the thing that consumes the carbon and gets us out of this global warming situation, which we might or might not be in, but
whether we are or whether we're not, it's still nice to look after the soil.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It'll
yeah.
make your veggies and your plants and your, I mean, that's what they always talk about, all those gardening shows, isn't it? They always talk about this grows well in lime or this grows well in this. And I always think, oh, but then I know. I know if I don't do any of that stuff, I can just kiss any hope goodbye of things working out.
Yeah, I definitely got to do the soil, but you also definitely got to do the drainage. So the garden in wintertime, you've got the time. You can sit by a fire and then go out for a wander, do a bit of weeding, build a bit of compost, have a look at where the water's going and just run a trench. Doesn't have to be a big trench, but just make sure everything is running smoothly in the water section of your garden, because in Gawler, this is the best season, really. Yeah. I mean,
could you grow rice in those areas? The runoff is, grow a bit of rice?
Well,
probably not.
No, it is best to leave it for the birds and the frogs, the lizards and so forth, and build up stone and timber little heaps of rubbish there. And it is best to keep the garden well drained. In fact, it's almost compulsory. But these are the things you can do.
What can we do?
Well, I'm just sort of talking generally about winter. Winter's coming and people think, well, I'll hide inside. That's fair enough, actually. But when you do go out and you will want to go out, well, these are the things you can be looking at. Soil preparation, compost building, drainage are all important for your garden, and they are the sorts of things people are likely to forget. Currently, I don't know, what have you planted this autumn?
I've actually planted some bush tuckers, which I'm quite pleased about. I put in a little bog garden and redid my pond and have planted some native trees. Native plants. But plant-wise, I have put in a ton of rocket and silver bee and rainbow chard. I probably did that a few weeks ago. I'm harvesting that more.
Got broccoli in?
Got broccoli in, definitely. So I'm probably harvesting that more, but the broccoli is not huge yet, but it's growing, which is always exciting.
Mm.
And I'm growing peanuts.
Peanuts?
Peanuts.
Aren't they a summer crop?
Yeah, I know, but I planted it, so I don't know what happened with that. Apparently it's meant to work, and it seems to be happy where it is. I'll see how it goes. Right. It was COVID, Trevor. When I went to the nursery, I went a little bit bananas. I went, what can I do to keep me occupied during the holidays? And I've actually planted, ironically, this autumn, like a lot of wildflowers and bulbs and, yeah, native plants ready for spring, which is not normally something I do, but actually I've done a ton of that. Because I'm a bit like you, and we've had this discussion, I'm really trying to attract the bees and the butterflies and the birds. I'm really trying to work on that. Well, I've got to put some more stuff in.
You know, you got to think of it as part of nature. All of this does become part of nature. So, yeah, getting those butterflies, bees, the lizards, the frogs, that's part of your aim, really, because they are the predators that you want. So in the next 6 weeks, you should be planting strawberries. Now, strawberries are, well, an absolute must, because the ones you buy look beautiful, but they taste like cardboard.
Oh, they're foul. They're horrid.
Yeah, so for some reason, almost an unfathomable reason, the corporation have come to the conclusion that shelf life is more important than taste, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And so you get these beautiful looking things that may as well be photographs on cardboard, because when it comes to eating them, they don't have the strawberry taste. And that probably strawberries, I think corn, you know, the ones that I would not buy from the shop are those two. Some things like onions and potatoes are okay, but they're never fresh enough, you know. Have you got parsley growing?
Yes, I've got heaps of parsley. And parsley from the shop's bleh, but parsley from the garden is fantastic. And in the morning, I'll make a little bit of a green smoothie, and I kind of go out there and I chop up some parsley and I chop up a little bit of rocket just to add a little bit of zing. And I planted some native rocket as well. Apparently there is indigenous rocket, which is a bush plant. It was really lovely. It's got a more subtle flavour, and I put some spinach in and I chucked that in with some berries. To be fair, the berries are frozen. But I figure the green is really fresh and it's organic, so that's good. But the parsley, it doesn't have... I find parsley that's been in the shop or too long life, you know, when people take it off your plate and stuff, whereas really beautiful homegrown parsley, that parsley salad, just chuck handfuls of it in everything. It is a very different flavour homegrown.
It is, and it's not so strong either. I mean, you had it, I gave you a carrot, apple and parsley drink tonight, and it's delicious. You don't really taste it that much. The carrots are sensational, actually, those freshly homegrown carrots. It's a bit too late to plant them now, because things have slowed down. I mean, on the 21st of June, we get 15 hours of night and 8 hours or 9 hours of day. So we're heading towards that. Not only is it getting colder and windier, but it's also getting more nighttime. So it's a bit late to plant most of the plants you should have put in by now.
I've got COVID carrots in. I'm calling them COVID carrots because it's the first time I've had legitimate success with carrots. Well, they haven't grown yet, but the first time I've had really good success with getting them to the point where they have maybe a plant because I was working from home. Yeah. And you've got to keep those seeds damp. So I was like racing out there and kind of watering them, and now they're going great guns. And you're right. And also with the carrot tops, you can chuck them through a salad when they're homegrown. Really? Whereas if you buy a bunch of carrots from the shop, which I tend to do, especially because I'm going to actually chuck the tops to the chooks.
Yeah.
I don't do that when I grow my own. I'm just trimming off the tops now. It's delicious. It's good. It's good for you.
I didn't know that. But at any rate, because we're heading towards this period where it's going to get slower and slower in terms of growth, that's why we're saying what we're saying, in that we've got 6 weeks, we can prepare the soil. We put in strawberries and asparagus. Now, those two come as crowns. They've got really good root systems, and all they got is a little bit of green shoot in the middle, which all the leaves come from. And you have to put them in the cold, wet period so they get established, because they're all roots, really. Yeah. They've got massive root systems. So if you try and plant them later, they don't have enough time because they got to get through summer. Strawberries are going to produce three crops for you. They're going to produce a September crop, which is really popular because it's the first crop of the season, a December crop, which is Christmas time crop, and also a January, February crop. So they're going to produce a lot. And they are going to be tasty, and they are going to be popular.
Mm. And fertilise them. That's the trick too with strawberries. They do like their fertiliser, don't they?
Well, they love seaweed, so you've got to put in well-rotted manure and compost, and you probably should really also try and fit in a quick green manure crop. But you need to put in a general all-purpose fertiliser as well, one of those fertiliser pellet things.
I am.
And you also should use seaweed probably fortnightly, because that's got a lot of the trace elements in it. And don't forget, with fertiliser, it's easy to get the nitrogen, but it's not that easy to get the phosphate and the potash. So when you're building your compost, it's the best time. The phosphate comes from bird manure, and the potash comes from the ash of your bonfires, of your slow combustion heater. So you need to put all those things in your compost. That's why it becomes important to develop your compost, because you're actually not just doing it blindly, you're building the things into it, which are actually quite hard and expensive to get hold of.
Yeah.
So if you didn't have a cheap source of chook manure, which we both do, and you can buy it fairly cheaply from the landscape suppliers, and that potash, that ash, is quite good. Certain things like it, peas and beans, would you believe like it? Did I say that last week? Okay, so you get these three crops. Everyone comes and picks a big one, the big red one. You know, in September, the first thing the kids do is they come and get this great big one and they eat it. And they leave everything else on the bush. They're not supposed to do that. So you, the owner, are supposed to come along and take all of them off, including the ones that didn't develop properly and the dead leaves, and really keep that plant clean and going, because it's going to have a second crop, and if it's still got the old flowers and dead heads on it, that's not good for you.
Oh, that is good to know. That could explain a lot.
Yeah, well, that plus seaweed does do a lot. And also, it minimises disease. Well, we talked a bit about asparagus. With rhubarb, I don't actually eat it, so I don't grow it much.
I love rhubarb. I've tried to grow it, but I'm going to actually put it in again. I should do that, because rhubarb, it's very Dutch. You don't eat the leaves sort of thing. But I remember Alma would boil the rhubarb, and we'd have that over ice cream or custard or something like that.
That's right.
So, love rhubarb. Big fan. People are a bit scared of it. I don't know why. I mean, don't eat the leaves, of course.
Yeah, don't eat the leaves, and just have a square of shade cloth ready to throw over it, because we had it growing here and that sun just killed it. So perhaps put it on an east-facing site rather than a north-facing site. It does like good soil. But most things do. I think it's fairly easy to grow, really, once you've got the rootstock and put it in.
And I think it stays for a very long time, doesn't it? Like, you sort of only have to really get it going once and you've got it forever.
Yeah, but keep the drainage. And the artichokes, we grow both sorts. The globe artichoke is, well, it's actually Scotch thistle. It looks like a thistle, and it will grow anywhere. People actually will tell you to pull it out because they think it's a thistle. And it is a lot like the thistle. You can plant it as seeds in a pot. Once you've got it, it's hardly going to die on you. It's actually very, very tough.
Yeah, it is tough.
And you're tempted not to give it good soil, but it will, both of them, the Jerusalem artichoke and the globe artichoke, will both do better in good soil, but you don't actually need it. So.
And Jerusalem artichokes, like, it's delicious. It's really nice. Are. Jerusalem artichoke soup, beautiful, lovely. And that's another tuber, isn't it? Yeah, Jerusalem's artichokes. Yeah. The flower's really nice.
Yeah, they do taste good. They've just got a flatulent problem.
They're not date food. Unless you want to get rid of your date. Maybe that's it.
The artichokes and the rhubarb, they can be planted any time of winter and spring, really. You've got months and months to do that. But just prepare the soil, because all of them appreciate old, well-drained manure, basically. I don't think the artichokes need much irrigation. If you're irrigating things, rhubarb might need irrigation, and strawberries and asparagus will definitely need irrigation. So just bear that in mind. So that was quickly going through the perennial vegetables, strawberries, asparagus, rhubarb and artichokes. There are others, like herbs, can be considered perennial.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm cutting back my herbs now.
But yeah, I think that's the nice thing about herbs, but also planting those vegetables that do last a little bit longer, a bit less work. If you haven't quite got time to plant out what you need to for your annuals, you're still getting something from the garden. And I think that's what's really important.
Oh, well, definitely the good gardeners, the Italians and the Dutch and the Europeans generally, they do grow black and red currants because they know how to turn that into some nice cakes, don't they?
Yes, they do.
And we got caperberries growing, but we're not really picking them.
Oh, how come?
Well, we don't actually know how to. There are two stages. There is the berry before it flowers and the berry after it flowers. So we've never actually tried doing it. It's pretty well a perennial and it's very drought tolerant, so it's growing well.
I know a lovely Greek lady who could tell you how to harvest those.
Well, also, I guess you can also speak about fruit trees as being perennials too, but I think that's a separate topic, really.
Yeah, we'll do fruit trees next.
Okay.
You can tell me why my oranges aren't growing.
You hope. That's the perennials. The things you can do over winter, though, it is a time of waiting and relaxing, staying indoors, and everything outside is growing at a snail's pace because it's too cold and damp, and actually the slug's pace as well because they're around and having a good feast. You can put up cloches. Now, cloches are really easy in that you just put stakes, bamboo or steel stakes in the ground at regular centres, two of them, one either side of your bed, and you stretch some pipe offcuts, 12mm black poly pipes, the usual stuff, and then you just spread clear plastic over that, and you got yourself a little hothouse. Now, you see hundreds of these on the commercial places. They all do it in spring because they want the ground to warm up as quickly as possible. So suitable crops are sort of peas, because peas get attacked by birds quite a lot. You can do it with your strawberries, but I don't. I see strawberries as a winter crop, really, so I don't bother heating them up because you are going to get three crops out of them, so why bother? Things like spinach and all the other winter crops, they can get a boost, but I'm not really sure I'd do it much with winter crops. Mainly you do it with spring crops that you want to give an early start, but there's hothouses too, and if you're going to be a really top-notch gardener, you're probably going to have a small hothouse because of seedlings. You should really be buying seed from the seed companies, and because they've got a much better range than the shops
have. Yeah,
absolutely, and you should be having your own potting mix all sieved and ready to go, and you should have pots in a little hothouse so that, well, I had great success with tomatoes last year because in June I planted my tomato seed in my north-facing windowsills, and I got them to be about 2 or 3 foot high by the time that the planting occurred, you see. So that's obviously how they do it. You can buy the seedling in springtime. In September, you'll find various people are running springtime specials and selling you lots of seedlings. including the normal ones, tomatoes, capsicums, kiwis, eggplants, that sort of thing. But it's better if it's your own, because your own are your own, you know, yeah. You know them.
That's true. Yeah, it's also really nice to start from seed, I think. I've got some cauliflower in a little seed tray on the back veranda, and it's exciting. You go out there and you're like, oh, cool, look at that. I just got one of those little, you know, the plastic containers that they sell fruit and veg in or whatever. Yeah, there was some at work that someone had put in the recycling and I hauled it out. So it's just a, like made my own little hothouse. Yeah, no, not polystyrene, like plastic, clear plastic.
Yeah.
That normally you chuck in the recycling. I think someone must have bought some salad veg or something for lunch. So there I did, and I took that home and it's doing very nicely.
Yeah, well, they'll go very big. I got a fair few, about 15 broccoli growing, and I had a look the other day, and if you look down where the plant comes out of the soil, you find that broccoli get a bit thin there and a bit dangerous, so you've got to really mound up those ones.
They
can send roots out of their stalk and get a lot of extra food from that. So just a reminder that your broccoli, you need to look at that and perhaps look after it a bit by piling up soil and manure and compost and stuff around the base of it. It will love you for it. And the other odd thing about that is I'm not getting the green grub. Oh. I think, weirdly enough, Michelle, I've trained the birds.
Oh, I thought they might be social distancing.
Well, I looked out of my window and it was raining. A sparrow took cover under a broccoli leaf and it looked up and it saw a green grub and it took it out. It just ate it, as though it had never been so happy in all its life, you know.
It's going to send the word out, you reckon?
I reckon, yeah, that was years ago. I reckon they're all doing it now.
Send the word out, go to Trevor's place.
Well, no, just look up when you're hiding under broccoli.
I love it. Actually, you know what I tried with broccoli one year? I tried the idea that I had all these grubs and insects on one of them. It was clearly going to town on this one broccoli.
Yeah.
There weren't hardly any on the others, so I thought, I'm going to leave that one there. And, you know, it left the others alone and had a good old time with just that one.
Amazing.
Whereas I reckon if I'd ripped it up, they would have all gone, oh, now we've got to move to this one. And so I thought, oh, so I might try that, see what happens.
I didn't have unfettered luck. I cleaned up my peas and I mulched with straw around them, but that just made them more visible to my sparrows, who then said, oh, that's what we've been looking for. So you have to be careful of weeding, because weeds are protecting your plants.
They are, absolutely.
You know, from the wind and from the birds and from a whole lot of other things.
And from my chook shed, because they've cleaned up all the weeds around the door, which drives me crazy. So it's actually this sludge at the moment, which... Yeah. I thought I'd feed them just before work the other morning and slipped. I did not fall, so no laughter, please. Yeah. But I did have, like, I did this big slip kind of thing and I regained my balance and I was just like, oh, you know. And so the paths, like, and then around the trees and stuff, I've got heaps of stinging nettle, but I'm not going to pull that out. I mean, I love stinging nettle, but I'm going to leave that there, because otherwise, if I'm trying to, like, walk around the garden just enjoying it, it is. It's just all...
Yeah, the clay is very slippery.
Yeah, it is really just slippery. It's very annoying.
And one thing on that is that I've got a lucern crop, and lucern grows all year round. Yeah, it needs water, but it is deep rooting, so it is... very good crop. If you've got a patch of weeds that are annoying you, you might consider going to a forest store. They got lots of lucerne there because they feed it to all their pets. And so you can justify planting lucerne in a patch that you're just going to mow, because it's actually pet food. And it's also very good for compost. So also, I think peas and clover are the same thing. You don't necessarily want them amongst your rotating vegetable beds, but if you can do a patch out of lucerne, it's a very strong grower. It's like a pea crop. It's got a pea leaf on it, but the clover and the peas and the lucerne are all pet food. You throw that to your guinea pigs or your rabbits or your chooks, and they all get high nutrition from it. So that's worth thinking of too if you've got patches.
And also being mindful that growing those crops for your chooks makes the cost of keeping your chooks so much less because sometimes you can be spending so much money on chook food, you wonder if the eggs are worth it.
Yeah.
And even though you're getting manure and stuff, so it's actually a great way to make sure that your chooks are a little bit more cost effective.
Yeah, oh, definitely. I mean, they will eat a lot of the weeds too. Obviously, the milk thistle is one of their favourites.
They love it, don't they? Yeah.
Now, the other thing you can do during winter, if you've got any time left from all the duties I've just given you.
Meanwhile, it's December, yeah.
Tools.
Tools.
So you clean, sharpen, oil and tidy your gardening tools. That's something that people constantly forget to do too. So a sharp spade, a sharp hoe, they're all much better if you can just clean them up. Give them a bit of an edge of a stone and, you know, oil the handle and that sort of thing. So if you have got time over winter, I think we've given them enough work now.
I think you have. I think they're all going, I don't know why you bothered suggesting we sit in front of the fire, because we're clearly not going to be spending any time in front of the fire. But it is true. Get all that stuff ready. The problem is we tend to hibernate, which is nice. I mean, definitely hibernate in winter, but just get those few bits and pieces done. And then when you are out there in spring and we suddenly get this overwhelming urge to plant everything, you're going to be thankful that you spent the time. But Trevor, that is all we have time for.
Oh.
It is. If it's 35 minutes.
I was going to go on. I think I already have.
That's all right. We can go on next podcast where I'm sure we will still be socially distancing, but we will be able to meet. So hopefully it's nice to return to a little bit of normality.
Yep.
So next time, what are we going to be talking about? Roof water?
Well, no, I think we're still in the midst of winter, and I think you put your finger on it. I mean, you can get bare-rooted fruit trees, and they are one of the other things we didn't talk about, but they're definitely in line with what we've been talking about. So I would tend to suggest that things you do in winter include plant a few fruit trees and do planting and stuff like that.
Sounds excellent. So we will see you next time. So thank you, Trevor.
Thank you, Michelle.